Hi, this is comedian Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman, fresh off a cold.
Fresh off a cold, although she's...
You always act like I'm not going to keep talking about random shit, like, because I feel like...
I think it's more funny that way, though, if I just keep going, and then you're like,
Shut the front door! Let me tell people where I am right now!
Yeah, no.
No, I had a really bad cold.
Better. You sound amazing. I would have never known you had a cold.
Really?
Because
I feel like I sound like... Nope.
Cool. She thought earlier we couldn't hear or see her via digital connections of Wi-Fi, but she sounds and looks amazing. She's just self-conscious about her appearance here.
You're so sweet. I don't have any makeup on, you silly.
Oh, you look amazing. You don't need makeup. Let's talk about that right after we introduce our lovely guest, Mr. Adam Janowiak. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm super good.
Do you say Janowiak or Janovic?
I say Janovic.
Sorry, I fucked it up. Sorry, my bad.
That's all right.
I was just wondering, I'm like, oh shit, have I been doing it wrong?
No, I'm sure it's me.
No. Jess looked it up.
Cool. Jess is the one that everybody remembers.
Jess sucks. Just remember. Your default setting is pessimism.
That's true. Yeah, it is.
Pessimism.
Very negative person. Yeah,
that's okay. I'm going to apologize a lot because the delay on this thing is a fucking bitch.
We'll just be like all the time.
Yeah. So it's going to be
good.
Awkward.
That's good podcasting.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable.
I mean, being kind of drunk and high doesn't help us not talk over each other either.
Yeah.
True.
I made myself a little pre-show cocktail for sure.
Yay!
I was like, yeah! Drink the rest of the gin that I have.
I stopped and got some PBRs.
I'm proud of you both. It's 11:15 here and I just woke up a half hour ago. which isn't an excuse for not drinking as much as it is. I just didn't have time to fix a cocktail and I don't have any beer. So I guess I could have put vodka in my coffee.
That's you can put vodka coffee in anything. That's why vodka is the best alcohol.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's like the wild card of alcohol. Like it just goes with everything, you know?
Yeah, it's like camouflage just itself.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so versatile.
Potato juice. It's the only thing those goddamn Russians did right. That and Dostoevsky. So, let's talk about this. Let's break it down. Pessimism, I think, is rooted in, you know, everything sort of anticipation, I think, is probably the first thing that comes to mind for me. Is it's rooted in, I anticipate that everything that can go wrong will go wrong, sort of Murphy's Law type of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. Please go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's weird. It's usually like, you know, like for me, it's not really worry or like... I just know the worst thing's going to happen, or I just know that everything sucks all the time. Who cares anyways, because it's going to suck.
No, I was just saying my best friend's like that, and I make fun of her because she usually goes like, she says she'll like expect the worst because if something better happens, then she's pleasantly surprised, and if the worst happens, she's prepared. But then I'm like, it seems like still like you have to deal with so much emotional crap to even just prepare for the worst all the time.
Yeah, I just think I just know that like everything's gonna suck all the time. So yeah, I guess that does make sense. I identify with that. I'm happy when it works out. Like just like cool. Not it wasn't complete shit.
You're right. I think there is something to be said for, like, having low expectations. God knows I benefit from those. So, I mean, you know, it's a very good protective measure. Where would you say this started for you? Like, when's the earliest time you could remember, like, you just, your instinct was to be like, well, it's gonna fucking suck?
I mean, I don't know. I know, like, I've had a pretty, like, rough life, you know. Well, not really. I mean, my mom loving and all that stuff. My parents divorced when I was like 3, you know. But the reason I can remember it is because, like, my we had to write a poem for school the one time, and I wrote this poem that was like really, really, really dark. And I think it was like third or fourth. No, not a third grade. Fourth or fifth grade, and I wrote this really dark poem, and like the teacher was so concerned about like my mental state that she called my mom, and like I like sent it, like that was before email, so yeah, definitely called my mom.
Was that before school shooters?
Yeah, right.
Was that before Columbine?
It was before Columbine, actually.
She's still concerned. See?
Oh yeah.
Can I tell you right now, though, like, Elizabeth and I both have, like, a flair for, like, dark humor, which I think you do, too, as well, just because you're a stand-up comic. And my favorite thing in the world is when children do dark shit. Like, one of my favorite moments on The Simpsons ever was, like, when Bart made, like, this art thing, and it was just, like, a picture of a clown being stabbed to death, and it's, like, sad in, like, big letters, and it, like, brings it home, and, like, the parents are, like, screaming, and, like, I was just, oh, my God, I cried laughing at that.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's fucking hysterical.
It's so funny when kids think that, like, only because I feel like most of the funny, like, dark kid stuff I've seen are from kids who are, like, fine, you know, they're not actually like, but they're just like, they like try to think of the saddest thing they can or something. And then...
So like, you don't exactly remember, do you think it sort of stemmed just from being sad about your parents' divorce and that led to sort of the sad poetry? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And just like, and you know, it set my expectations really low, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like, just life in general, like nothing's ever going to work out. And I've tried to be optimistic before, you know, I just keep going back to being pessimistic because like what, like, I don't know. Like I tried like giving the whole like fucking, American life thing a try, you know, like with being, I was, you know, second marriage, thought like it was going to be, you know, it was going to be all cool. It was going to be I was going to have like the normal American life, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With a wife and 2 kids and like have a little house with a yard and shit. Man, I'm not programmed for that. Okay. You know, I don't think I'm set up for that at all. I gave it a very good shot. You know, I tried for like 6 years.
Yeah. I'll say how long were you married the first time and how long were you married the second time?
First time was only was a good couple years, but we weren't actually together through most of that because I was a Marines. That was just a huge mistake. Yeah. Like in general, I mean,
is
I did
one of those like months. Got married before you got deployed.
Yeah, no, it was after campus. I came back. Okay. It was when I came back because it was like, well, I'm probably gonna die like at any time. Like I guess I've already survived war, so I mean, I'm probably gonna die soon from something.
There's that pessimism.
Yeah, pessimism. You're like, I used up all my luck points.
Well, I'm gonna die.
Yeah. Not dying there.
Yeah, luck points are all probably burned.
Yeah.
Like survived an actual war. Like fuck it, dude. Whatever.
I love that we have so many Marines on this show. It makes me really happy. Like, just need to like change.
Becoming stand-up comics because apparently,
well, yeah,
the VA doesn't pay for nothing.
Drew Carey did it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Drew Carey, Cleveland Marines, Northeast Ohio Marines are all about the joke. That's what the James Earl Brassfield says. If you're broken, you're joking. So, you know,
that's true.
That's what it is. But, so yeah, it sounds like you had that first marriage. I know a lot of people who did that whole thing, like kind of like what Elizabeth was saying, either they got married before they deployed because they knew they were probably going to die and they wanted someone to like benefit from their death.
They're like, I'll get paid more money.
Right. And then, you know, there were a lot of people who came home and were like, you know, sort of that Times Square photo of like making out with the nurse, like, all right, baby, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Let's come out and make out.
I'll marry anything. Come on.
He didn't even know that chick. He didn't even know that chick in the picture. That was just a random chick that he pretty much, like, raped.
Yeah. We all just fucking idolizing assault again.
Yep. Yeah, right?
It was a different time.
Yeah, that means it doesn't count.
I'm not saying it doesn't count. I'm just saying... No one.
Just
no,
giving old lady.
We all got home. Yeah. We all got back from the war, and we needed to make some babies somehow. So that's true.
We needed to make some babies that were gonna annoy the shit out of every other generation.
Some of those good war babies.
Yeah.
Some of those,
they didn't get any PTSD handed down through them that they've made an issue with us at all.
I love that we think, though, that our generation is just going to be it. Like, we're the wokest generation that's ever going to exist.
Oh, I don't think that. I feel like there's already kids younger than me, then they keep saying, like, because I feel like I'm not as woke when it comes to LGBT stuff, only because I feel like there's always new stuff happening, and I don't got my finger on the pulse of it.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, I just found out my friend was like, she said she was a gray ace, and I'm like, I didn't know. Okay, so ace, asexual, and then apparently then there's like subcategories of that. So like, I admit they get it.
So
they get it more than me.
I will say that is one of the only two advantages of being a member of 55 Facebook cat groups is that everybody on there is like somehow like beyond woke as fuck. And so, like, they're always on the lookout for these little, like, nano aggressions and shit, which I think is, like, drives me insane. But you learn through these things, like, what things mean to people and, like, what layers of, like, you know, these different things mean.
Yeah.
So,
but as long as you're staying open-minded about it,
I'm not open-minded.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not worried about it because I'll be like, you know, if I mess up, someone will tell me, and then I won't do it again.
Yep. The only place I get I was just because the only place I get mad is that pessimistic point of view where it's just like, oh, you're just saying that because you're trying to attack me. And it's like, no. Like, I don't mean anything by it. I just don't know. Like, I'm ignorant. Like,
but But you're right. That's the kind of pessimistic. You're not giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Which, I mean, to a point that probably, you know, some people get used to if that's what happens most of the time.
Right? Yeah, I mean,
I have your guard up.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to call. I think it's easy to call people by their pronouns. You know what I mean? You mess up once or whatever and then get corrected. You're like, fine, whatever. It's also easy to call people they or them. You know what I mean? And so not to assume any kind of
What's the fucking thing? Matter to you? Like, it's their thing.
Yeah, I know, right? Dude,
but why do you fucking care?
The girl that I was most recently dating, like, after we broke up, came out as, like, male identifying. So... she now goes by he, so it's like it's hard for me to like talk about when we were together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's like I get the pronouns all messed up. It's not that I'm worried about somebody thinking that I'm gay.
No.
I don't want to be wrong.
So,
and it's just like difficult to do, but I still fucking do it. You know what I mean? Because what is it seriously? What does it matter to me? What somebody wants to be called?
Like, how does it affect us if we use? Because I have a friend too who transitioned after I had known them a long time, and so I use my friend. He was going from a she to a he, and then I remember I said she one time. And it just looked like I broke his heart and I felt so bad. But I'm like, I was honest to God, not on purpose.
So,
I'm not like, trying to hurt you. I swear. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to say this anyways. It's like saying the word retard. Like I so many times, like I used to say it like it was nothing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's retarded. This retarded, whatever. It's like saying that, just stop doing it. You know what I mean? The time that I was well, to get rid of that from my vocabulary, I was actively trying one time, and I said it, you know what I mean? It just slipped out because we were drinking or whatever in front of my friend whose brother is like special needs or whatever, or like handicapped, not special needs, mentally handicapped, like has some actual like legitimate like thing wrong with him that he's a great dude. Like I met him before. Whatever. But I said it in front of him. I was like, oh, that's retarded. And I was like,
And then you're like, do I keep digging the ditch? Do I say, oh, dude, I'm so sorry?
No. I was like, fucking,
I call attention to it.
As soon as I said it, I think I did that groan out loud. I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, man, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, but seriously, I am very sorry.
I'm trying to be better. Okay. I'm sorry.
I am trying to do better.
Here's the thing. Like, honestly, you know, I think everybody on both sides need to be somewhat open-minded, right? Like, for people who don't know, they need to be open-minded, and the other side needs to just understand that it's not always meant with malicious intent. It's very accidental. It's very, like, it's out of ignorance, that sort of thing. And I think as long as everybody sits on that, that is when there's the most harmony that sort of comes from, you know, language. It's when people automatically assume you're doing it to be intentionally malicious, or even, you know, even if they get hurt by it and they're not immediate, like, they're not... they hold a grudge because, you know, you said something that you didn't mean to say. I think there just needs to be more open-mindedness that language is changing faster than I've ever known it in my lifetime. Like, I'm almost 40, and, like, just in my lifetime in the last 10 years, so much has changed, like, just from the perspective of what you need to be aware of as far as how people identify and things like that. And it gets difficult to keep up because, like you were saying, gray aces, like, barely anybody knows what that is right now, but you know, even in a year or two, it might not be something that's like widely known, even though it's more known. And you know, it's just, I think, a matter of people who identify that way understanding that this is all very new, you know, in your young life, if you're 20 or whatever.
I mean, still, sometimes you catch somebody on a bad day, you know what I mean? And it's understandable, but like, you know, and I can relate all this back to being pessimistic too. Like, you know, I expect like the worst out of anybody. You know, I expect bad things to happen, you know, and I just go about my day. But like, I had something.
That's okay. We do that all the time.
Damn.
I feel like a lot of times, like, your overall demeanor has something to do with it too, because if those people, like, if they're, like, getting mad about that, they've probably been dealing with it for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how you act in general probably goes to it. Or if they don't know you at all. So, like, I understand being...
I just don't ever want to feel scared about a slip of the tongue. That's what it will do. I think it's because I guess
if you don't, it's also a different thing if you don't know, like, if they haven't told you.
Well, and that's it. I don't ever want to live in fear that people are going to view me as in any form of, like, you know, homophobic, racist, you know, sexist, anything like that, because I'm not aware, or because, you know, when I was 20, it was perfectly okay to say X, Y, and Z, and I had no idea. You know what I mean? It's just, it's harder. I can see from someone who kind of sits in the middle, like, how older people, how it's hard for them to keep up with, you know, because things are changing so rapidly, and just having that expectation of, yes, I get they've probably been dealing with people who are genuine, legitimately homophobic and sexist and whatever. And I get that frustration, and that's got to be fucking awful. But just understanding that most people, and that's, I guess that's where you and I are different. I'm like, I've got this weird inherent optimism of, I don't truly believe that most people are racist, sexist, and homophobic, so I give them that sort of benefit of the doubt of, like, they probably didn't mean anything by it, they just didn't know, or, you know.
Oh, no, I'm not that way
at all.
So you do not get an immediate pass. You are a piece of shit until I say you're not.
You're guilty, you're guilty until proven innocent, exactly.
But
then it's also easy for us, because it's like, it's not our shit that's on, you know, that's being judged either, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fucking straight white male. Like, I have no concept of being, like, ever, like, stereotyped or anything like that.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, some people think that I'm gay, but, like, again, don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
Also, losing the word gay from my lexicon has been difficult, too.
Yeah.
Like, stop calling things gay. I think it's just, like, I'm 36, about to be 37. Like, we called everything gay when
That's
I was
it.
Kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everything was gay, everything was retarded. Yeah.
Everything was gay and retarded. Like, that's gay and retarded. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I can't say that anymore. I've been trying to lose gay, and I slipped up recently with that, like, to strangers. And I'm pretty sure one of them was gay, and I was like, ooh, all right. Well, sorry about that. Take it easy. Have a good day. I feel like everything's okay if you just genuinely apologize.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't know why slip-ups,
you know, like,
yeah, the Canadians have it right. Like, apologizing immediately is the best thing you could possibly do.
I don't disagree.
Just always be apologizing.
I think my thought too, like, where I go with this is I fully plan on being incredibly famous someday, having everyone know me. And the thing I wonder sometimes is, how hard does it get when every single day people want to hear what you have to say, and then almost everything
you want to hear you fuck up,
and then everything you say comes under scrutiny, and then, you know, it increases your odds that much more, just like Elizabeth said, that you're going to fuck up, that you're going to say something that you didn't mean to say. And then how exhausting is it that every single day you say you're sorry? And I think I spend too much time on Twitter, because then it's like, I see people say sorry all the time, and Twitter's just a factory of, I don't give a fuck about your apologies. Fuck you. You're canceled forever. I never want to hear it again. And it's just like, oh man, like, how do you even
people
live?
People like to lose their mind on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. That's why I don't comment on, like, random Facebook things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, all I do on Facebook is, like, check things that I'm tagged in. I check my shit. I don't really even scroll Facebook anymore.
Good idea.
I like
it for events.
Yeah.
So that I remember what times things are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or where they are.
Yeah. No, I use Facebook as my event planner. Like, that's exactly what. That's mostly what I use Facebook for. Oh, and impulse buying, like, t-shirts and shit. Yeah.
Damn, their
those
ads
work on me. Those
me
ads
too!
Work on me.
Me too.
They keep throwing this book bag in my face because they know I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there on Instagram too. And I'm like, okay, I clicked on one of your ads. And now it just keeps going, you know, you want that bag. I'm like, shut up.
I have bought so many things from Instagram ads. And I know it's because they have the algorithm set so they can tell how long you stop to watch the ad.
Yeah. So I consciously realized that while I'm scrolling, I'm like, no.
So, like, hair color, makeup, like, fucking pet shit, like, all that shit. Like, in my Instagram feed, I have bought at least, like, once every 6 weeks, because it's like, holy shit, this thing looks amazing. And it's never fucking amazing.
They know.
They know.
Man, I just bought a, like, a really dope, like, kitty sweater.
That's awesome.
Does it have cats?
Yeah, so.
You get really good finds. My sister did that. She got us all, my sister got us sister mugs. I've got two sisters, and she got us these mugs because we love Jurassic Park. And it was like it said like three dinosaurs on it with all these like flowers around it. And it's just like, man eats, or it's like, dinosaur eats man, women inherit the earth. And it's just like, I'm like, oh. That was one of the best, like, Facebook ad buys ever. It's so pretty.
Adam, have you ever gotten one of those shirts that says, like, I'm a proud Scorpio, and I like mowing the lawn, drinking...
What the fuck is this?
Drinking beer.
Yeah, no, actually, hey, don't make fun of it, because I have a bunch of those shirts. They're the best shirts, because it lets everybody know that I'm a Pisces, and I don't take no shit from no one. Also, I was in the Marine Corps because I wear all my beliefs on my body. If you take my daughter out, I will shoot you with my gun.
She doesn't have personal agency. She's my property until someone buys her off. Yeah. Damn it.
My favorite dance.
She doesn't get to make decisions. I make decisions for her.
She was born with a vagina. She doesn't get to make a choice about life. No, my favorite one.
It's a text heavy shirt, and it gets really hot. It gets really hot, but I wear that shit all the time.
It like goes down. It's like on your sleeves, and it's on your knees just to fit like all the words. Like, it's just this big
sheet. It's got footnotes that like fold out.
Yeah. It has a
pocket. The pocket comes out, and it's got more text on it.
You pull the hood up, and there's like, oh, there's like tons more on the hood. No, my favorite day was they did a parrot, like on Twitter, they'll do like memes, and everybody was doing like meme ones, like, what would your t-shirt say? And I think I was like, I like cats. And I was like, I like singing parody songs about my cats. And if you don't like it, neither do my neighbors. Or because that's like, it always ends in like, if you don't like it, like, yeah. And yeah, it's those shirts are amazing. Amazingly specific.
That sounds like a great shirt, actually.
Adam, what would your shirt say?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it says, I'm a Pisces, yeah, and I was in the army, and I'll beat you up if you look at a lady wrong, or that if you have different opinions than me, you will get punched by my fist, period. Also, comma, I'm gonna break into your house at night, and I'm gonna touch all your food.
Damn.
I'm gonna sneeze in it real good.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna check if all of your produce is good or not, and then I'm gonna throw it away for you.
Only the good ones.
Oh my god. Okay. So we got as far as the first marriage, I think, on the timeline Adam. So that marriage, you said, how long did that one last?
The first one, a couple years, but it wasn't like a real. It wasn't like we lived together for maybe like a couple of months.
Okay.
Like, I didn't even know her that well. It was, you know, it was a different time.
It was a different time then. No, I got it. And then that one, so you guys divorced when you were done with your last tour, or?
No, actually we got married right after, pretty much right after I got back from deployment. And then that lasted for 5-6 years while I was in the Marines, because I was just like, whatever, I don't care. We were separated, but not divorced. And we didn't get divorced until she wanted to get remarried. And that was like after I was already out. So, yeah, we got divorced when I was already out, because it didn't matter. It was just paperwork.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just paperwork and fucking titles. And then I got married again. Like, this time I was like, yeah, we're gonna fucking do it for real. And that didn't fucking work. So apparently, you know, optimism is just not for me, I guess.
I mean, it never helped.
I try to look on the bright side. Try to fucking plan for the future. Try to do all that shit. Nah, not gonna happen. So, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm gonna die at any time.
Well,
so, like...
We all are. I mean, to be fair,
I could get hit by a bus. Like, I drive for a living. I could get hit by a car.
Oh, yeah.
Or not drive for a living. But, like, I go all over the place. I'm outside all the time, like, for work. Next to fucking roads. Like, I could die at any time. And it's just, like, I can't be afraid of it. You know what I mean? Can't be afraid of – maybe that's one of the reasons I joined the Marines, too. It was, like, I was so underconfident when I was a child, because worrying about worst possible outcome. And now it's like, well, fucking let it happen. Let the worst possible thing that could happen in this situation happen, and then fine, I'll just deal with that, because I deal with it all the time anyway.
There's a certain sense of invincibility to that, which I like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's hard,
especially when you come back from war and you're like, I'm not dead.
Yeah,
like,
if that didn't kill me, fuck it, man.
Like, I expected to die.
Yeah, you had your big chance.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Fuck you, universe.
And you blew it. You blew it, Adam. You blew it out. Your chance at death. Jesus Christ.
I know. I should have been way more reckless when I was out there. Damn it.
You can't do anything right. But, like, the thing is, like, I think that is, I kind of love the idea of that sort of fatalistic approach, too, because it opens you up to a lot of opportunities, right? Like, if you go day to day and you're like, well, I could try to be careful, but, like, ultimately I could just get hit by a bus, or ultimately, like, the space station mirror could just land on my head. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
So does it help you, like, try new things and stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I'll try anything. Like, but, like, I also don't, like, just operate in a reckless manner either, you know? I guess I kind of do.
Reckless being, like, open to, you know,
what
life throws at you is two different things.
Yeah, I'm not actively, like, driving like a fucking maniac or anything like that. I'll follow road rules because, like, cars are definitely, like, you're just driving around a giant metal killing machine. Like, people wholesale with a fucking car.
Yeah, I have, like, an existential thing where it's almost like you kind of, like, see yourself from outside yourself when I'm driving, and I'm just kind of like, what am I even doing right now? And I was like, I've got a wheel and I'm going so fast, and I'm just using my feet. This is a crazy big golf cart. And then I'm like, okay, come back, and then just go, like, gotta renormalize.
Once
in a while, you get outside yourself, like, okay, but what am I really doing?
I have that. I think that's a form of OCD. Like, when you when all of a sudden you realize, like, you stop and think about what you're actually doing. Like, you can't overthink or think too much about shit, because it will just be like, what? Well,
Yeah, when I drive a car, like, I am hyper, like, I'm pretty sure I have ADD also, and with a slew of other mental disorders.
Hey, Pisces with ADHD.
There's your t-shirt! Yeah. There's your t-shirt right there!
Slap hands!
I'm a Pisces! I have ADHD!
Yeah, but so anyway, yeah, what the only thing I focus on when I'm driving a car is, like, driving the fucking car. Like, I'm hyper aware of everything around me all the time. It doesn't stress me out because I know most people are fucking idiots and don't know how to drive. And you can pick them out, you know? I've been driving for years. I know when somebody's going to be a fucking moron. But I also know when somebody just, like, makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been sitting at a red light twice.
Yeah, Elizabeth's, I always say Elizabeth's car was built on an ancient Native American burial ground because
all of them.
And there's also, it's also full of magnets, and cars just crash into her all the time for no reason.
Do you get that, like, hyper focus? Were you like that before you went to the military?
With driving cars, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes, after you join, you can get kind of.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I have like hyper focus like that for other things too. That comes with the PTSD.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So I can't imagine PTSD makes the pessimism any better.
Oh no, it makes it way worse. It makes it way worse. Like especially like, and what. Yeah, what makes it even worse is, like, when the, because I, even though I'm anticipating the worst to happen, like, even if the worst does happen, like, I'm, like, fucking knew it, like, reaffirmed all my beliefs.
Vindicates you and you're,
yeah,
like.
It doesn't go, yeah, total vindication when I, like, I'm fucking knew it. Everything was shit today. Like, the worst possible things could have happened, fucking knew it. Should have stayed in bed all day, which I also do sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Because it is crushing. It is crushing, but, like, I make it work sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I get like that when my depression gets kind of bad. Like, I was going to the one comedy show, and I wasn't going to go because I, like, hadn't left the house in, like, a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, fuck it, I should go. And the first thing that happens after I get out of the car is I drop my phone, and even though it's in a case, it lands in the perfect way to crack the screen. And I'm just like, I fucking, nope. Yeah. Nope, I knew it.
The three of us should never be in a car or in the same room together without, like, a designated survivor, because we all have pretty shitty luck. Like, I don't think it would be a great thing.
No, I have amazing
luck. Do you really?
I have the best luck.
Tell me about this.
I am the luckiest, actually. Like, I mean, like, bad things happen for sure, but, like, I always come out clean. Like, everything always works out for me.
Like, how?
Always. Do you think that's why you're so chill with being pessimistic?
Yeah.
You're like, the worst is going to happen, but it'll probably be fine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's always, and what it is, too, it's like being around people, like, everything, like, watching sports, like, they're going to fuck it up. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to fucking suck. Yeah. It's going to suck. Why even get your hopes up? Because everything's going
to
suck.
Like, that's just called being a Cleveland fan. Like, knowing it's just going to fucking suck.
I mean, it is. But see, here's the thing. I understand this, and that's why I don't watch Cleveland sports. Because I know it's going to suck.
Same. 100%.
And, like, why would I do it if I know for a fact, like, unequivocally, it's going
to
suck?
Do you? Okay, I need to know this. Sorry, that's my cat. Do you ever wonder why people put themselves through this Browns nonsense every year? Because I can't help but wonder. Like, every year.
Every fucking
year. Thank you. I was like, why?
I'm not a big sports guy. Yeah. I'm not a big sports guy, but, like, I've been around, you know? I live a life.
Yeah.
I've sat there and watched Browns games with Browns fans, and I'm like, why do you guys fucking do this to yourself? Why do you watch just your team get destroyed every fucking week, but you're so fucking pessimistic?
I do it.
Optimistic. I meant to say
optimistic. No, I know. I know what you meant, yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like being the underdog.
No, here's the thing. I love Browns games. Like, don't get me wrong. I love tailgating. I fucking love drinking in a parking lot at 6 a.m. I love that shit. But to the level that people get, like, Like, and the thing I have a hard time...
I love when people get upset
sometimes. They get, get mad either because of the game, or they get mad because of the uniforms, or they get mad because of, like, the management.
Congratulations, you know? Like, it's just, you're just hurting yourself.
Exactly.
Like, I'll get upset if I feel like, you know, it was bad calls or something, but I'm not...
Motherfuckers this year are complaining when they do good. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Like, they didn't do good enough. Like, they actually won a game, and you guys are fucking bitching.
That's because they were raised to be unsportsmanlike. My dad raised us to be very sportsmanlike, and it's, you know, you always shake the other team's hand, even if you lose. And
Sounds like somebody got a participation trophy.
My dad was the flag football coach. He was like,
I think
they didn't give out any awards.
Not to get pegged too far down that road, but I think a lot of it is a toxic masculinity thing. Like, you were raised to be a winner. You were only a winner. And there's no perspective then, you know what I mean? There's no perspective about, like, let's just take the wins when we can get them. It's like, no, I have to be fucking perfect. This team is a representation of me. It has to be fucking perfect.
Somehow, if the team's doing well, I'm doing
well.
Yeah,
it's a representative. And, like, and between that and just the anger, like, a couple weeks ago, they didn't open the Muni lot till 2 and people lost their goddamn minds. I'm like, this city has 3 bars per person. Go to a fucking bar until 2 p.m. Jesus Christ, the game's not until 8. Drink, what is wrong with you? Yeah, go home. What's wrong with you?
I love drinking. I love watching the games at home, because you know what? I can see everything on the field.
Yes.
I can use my own bathroom.
Yes.
And the drinks are so cheap.
Yeah.
the most fun I ever had at a Browns game was last year. We went to a preseason game. It was a home game. I think we won. I don't remember. But I took a bunch of acid before we
left.
Yeah, I was on like 4 hits of acid at a Browns game. It was really fun for me. It looked like, I was like, everybody's running uphill all the time. This game is crazy.
Look at all this energy.
Those are real athletes. Uphill all the time. Crazy.
Both ways. I went to a preseason game this year with my dad and my sisters. My sister just got a job. She moved to Indianapolis. So we were playing Indianapolis in Indianapolis. So we went to go visit her. And it was, my dad got us super sweet seats. But he didn't like the way that I was shit-talking, because it's just like, now people can hear you. My sister Julie's just like, don't censor her. And I was just like, yeah, how's that bag of dicks taste? Fuck you! And my dad's like, no, come on.
Wow, your dad. So your dad
I'm
was
like, I'm allowed. I'm allowed.
I love.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
I love it. Like a 30-second span. You're like, my dad taught me to be sportsmanlike, and then you were like, eat a bag of dicks, coach. And your dad's just like, please stop. I taught you to be sportsmanlike.
Oh, you taught me. I didn't say I listened to all of it. I said that he taught me all of it.
I see.
I didn't listen to it all. I see.
You have a bag of dicks, you cuck? Is that what you said?
No.
That's what I said.
That's what Jess said.
Oh, God. I said those, like, yelling, like, suck it.
I used to be rabid, especially Ohio State, because that's where I went to college. So, like, I was a rabid Ohio State. Like, it was bad. I needed an intervention.
I just, like, doing it because... We're, like, outnumbered and stuff there. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was funny.
I get that. 100%. I just think that people put way too much stock. Like, there was a video of a guy who went out and lit, like, $250 worth of fireworks when we picked up OBJ. And I'm like, was that worth it? Like, all we did was pick up a football player, sir. You just, like, set $250 on fire because we what?
Which hopefully he doesn't cost a bunch of
money. The 4th of July is a thing in this country.
Oh, yeah.
So
that wasn't
and
4th
also
of July.
Fireworks are fucking cool.
Oh,
fireworks are fucking
again,
cool.
Again.
And shooting them off yourself is fucking cool.
I don't deny
you ever
any
have a
of
Roman
them.
You ever have a you ever have a Roman candle fight before?
Yes. Yes.
No,
fucking cool.
Yes. Oh my god, they're so fun.
This is stupid.
Oh my god, it's so fun. I did that on the beach just a couple weeks ago. It was really fun. Well, and then in that case, the water's right there. So if you get set on fire, you just run into the water. It's completely fine.
I know.
Yeah.
And you don't get set on fire. They go out as soon as they hit your body.
Doesn't it hurt?
You're gonna shot by a BB gun?
Yeah, time. Yeah. Sorry. No, it's okay. You feel like a little like
those
staticky.
Those sound awful. Oh man, I fell off one of those scooters this past weekend.
Oh,
I got the most
greenest
bruise.
All right, let's check it out.
Bruise.
All right, she's showing us the bruise. Oh, that's
horrible.
I didn't get to see it. Wait a minute, no, put it back.
Oh my god. It looks like you got bit by a zombie. Are you patient zero?
My boyfriend doesn't like me telling the story. He's like, you can't tell it. People are gonna think I didn't take care of you.
Oh Jesus.
Do it.
He did the thing.
And it's fine. You can tell me.
She's a grown ass woman, Jeb. She's a grown ass woman. She can take care of herself.
Yeah, that's what I want, including get on a scooter drunk in heels in a truck.
Hold on a second. You were drunk and in heels?
Yeah. We went to a wedding in Columbus, and it was super fun. And then outside of our hotel, like, we took an Uber back. So outside of our hotel, there was like, because in Columbus, they got tons of these scooters. But they got Lyft scooters there. And I was just like, he's like, I want to try it. I want to go around the building. So I was like, okay, let me. So I opened my Lyft app, and now they just have a thing so you can switch it over to scooter.
Yep.
It's so convenient.
Yep.
So I turn it on, and then he's like, he gets on, and he's like, it's not working. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not working? You get on, and you hit the thing. He's like, no, it's not working. So then I get on, expecting it not to work. So I push the button all the way down, and then I shoot off into the curb.
Oh, my God.
I fell,
dude.
And I hit my head on a stone.
Oh, no!
And apparently demolished my leg somehow. And then I landed on the ground, and I was just like not fazed at all. I've got like my heels on my dress, and James assures me, he's like, no one saw anything. You're fine. Because I got the ground, and then I'm like, ah, damn it. Like, darn. Oh, shucks. I just wiped out real crazy.
That's fantastic.
On this scooter. And then he did a lap around, and then he tried to lie to me and tell me he fell in the back. I'm like, you didn't.
Oh, like, that's really sweet.
That is nice.
That's really sweet, actually.
So
that is really
I'm
nice.
Like, you're a liar.
If he were a true gentleman, he would have actually fallen down, though, just for you.
Yeah.
Like,
he would have ate shit right in front of you when he was like,
right, just
he like coming up around the corner, like, no problems at all, babe. And then like turns it real hard and eats the most shit.
Just road rash.
That's what a gentleman does.
All the road rash right there.
It's seriously the evolution of this bruise from like, cause it's been a week now. It's just gotten like more and more heinous looking. I'm like, oh, so I show it to him all the time. I'm like, look at it now. Look at these colors. He's like, put it away. My head is like, the bump on my head stopped hurting. So
I was gonna say, your face looks fine. You can't tell you fell on your head at all.
I did. I just felt like I hit the top of my head, like on the pole. And then I don't know how I hit my leg.
Because you hit your head.
So proud.
Yeah, you don't remember because you hit your head. Yeah.
Just went down. Yeah, James, like, you're gonna forget some med school class. Trying to make me think I went to med school. I'm like, I didn't do that. Oh, shit. You bitch.
The lesson is don't use scooters.
If you were a pessimist, you would already know not to do that.
Yeah. I was going to ask, have you ever been to a scooter?
I was like pessimistic because I'm like, oh, it's broken. It's not going to work. And then it just really did.
But
really
if you were a true pessimist, you wouldn't have gotten on one in the first place. So
I mean, if you're a professional like me, you would get on one just to be like, I bet this is gonna suck. And
that's
then, it,
what
and
I was
then you'd
like,
be like, I'm having a great time.
Yeah. Until you plowed into a wall and then you're like, I should have known it would end this
way. Yeah.
It started.
No, you plow into the wall and then you're like, yes, vindication.
I was right.
It does sound like a win-win when you're a pessimist, because you're either right or you're pleasantly wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the only two ways
you really can is. I think that's the best way to live. Optimists are stupid.
Tie that together. My ex one time, he was saying, like, that's why he always bet against Cleveland sports teams, like the Cavs and whatever. Because if we win, yay, we won. Yeah, he's got a little money, but we won. And if we lose, yeah, we lost, but she still gets some money.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That is actually brilliant. Holy shit.
So I was like, oh, that's so negative. Oh, well, yeah, consolation prize.
Constellation prize. The Orions. So, hey, the thing we were talking about was that your second marriage ended, which was a cheerful way to return to the subject. And
yeah, I mean, thanks a lot, Jess.
You know what? I'm trying to stay on fucking topic.
Having a good time.
Well, I guess here's the thing. Like, I mean, you, I've known you for a couple of years, and I feel like, you know, you really have, like, and we were talking before the show started about how medication is a big part of this. I mean, you really have seemed like you endure. Like, that's the thing. You're a fucking, like, you endure. And I think a lot of people who are pessimistic are naturally more like, I think of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Like, they're just like.
Eeyore's always my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, little gray.
No, I mean, I have my Eeyore moments too, but like, there's no, I mean, I just expect the worst, you know what I mean? I don't think of the best outcome. I think of the worst outcome when anything's going to happen. So like, yeah, I don't know. It works better for me. Cause like sometimes I'm surprised in like how human beings act or how like, you know, my night goes, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's easier for me. Oh God.
Oh no.
Like, oh no. What's the point in thinking that the best possible outcome is going to be the outcome when you're definitely just going to be disappointed when you imagine you imagine the best thing. Like this podcast, I imagined the worst possible scenario where I was quiet the whole time and I was just like, whatever, like this is gonna suck, right? like dreaded it, like still did it, feel like it's going well, feel like it's pretty good.
Check in, everybody. Check in.
Yeah. Anybody? Yes, anybody? Up. Anybody having a bad time? Nobody's having a bad time. Tight.
I mean, Jess had to wake up earlier than us.
That's true.
I had to wake up at 10:45. Oh no.
Yeah. I was up at like 6, I don't know why.
I wake up at 10:30 most days.
Yeah, that's a great way to start the day is anytime after like 10 is a great way to start the day.
I agree.
Ish, but I went to bed at like 7.
Oh yeah, well you're on grandma hours now. Yeah.
I love it. It's great.
Liz is a party girl.
Yeah. Just put on
goes
movies.
To bed
like,
at 7
remember? He's like,
a.m.
Yeah. He's like, I put on, oh yeah, the night before. Okay. I blame it because I was sick. The night before I went to bed at like 8:30.
No, I also subscribe to the going to bed early. What's funny is I absolutely fucking love going to bed early when I don't need to, like on a Saturday night. When it's Tuesday, I'm like, sit on my phone till 3 a.m. And then I got to be up till like 6. I got to be up at 6 and it makes no fucking sense. But no, I was telling Adam, he said he was nervous. And I was like, look, I am the lamest fucking person on the universe. Nothing to be nervous about. But I get it. Like it is when you're like, when you're put on the spot and you're like, here's a microphone, talk about yourself. Yeah. And I mean, that's what we all do. I mean, the three of us all doing comedy.
Yeah, but
that's...
we like to try to like give you something to work with.
Yeah.
So you're not the content generator all by your lonesome.
Hopefully.
Yeah, let's pull back the curtain. Yeah. Let's pull back the curtain. I don't know. There's two modes. Cause I know I have to perform right now. You know what I mean? I know I have to be on my best game. I can't just like sit here and like passively listen to the conversation.
We'll talk.
Interacting.
And I do have to pay attention, which is hard for me. Like I normally, when people talk, I don't pay that much attention, but I have to right now. And that's why I'm an awesome performer.
Yeah. You are though. You're hilarious. He's done, I think at least you've done two of our toast prattles, I think.
I did. Those were really, really fun. And I'm doing a proper, like an actual, like say mean things thing.
Roast battle.
Tonight, I'm doing an actual roast battle that I actually wrote real jokes for.
I saw your status. So proud of you.
I know. I wrote real jokes.
Yay!
And I wrote a bunch of them and I have more than I need. It's
hell yeah.
Crazy.
Who are you battling?
Drew Malkins.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
sad boys.
It's gonna be fun.
In the house.
I think I'm gonna win. I'm not the odds favorite because I listened to their podcast, where they talked about like the brackets and stuff. But yeah. I still think I'm gonna win. fucking the one dude's got my back. I think it'll
not
be
very pessimistic.
Yeah, see? Oh, shit. Ew. Oh!
You're like, fuck you guys. Oh! Fuck you guys.
Oh, imposter.
How dare you? How dare you tell me I'm... How dare you tell me? How dare you tell me I'm
hanging
out of it?
We all do.
You're a big fat phony. You phony!
You how
phony.
Dare you! You're I came on this what? Podcast thinking I would be treated nicely. You guys are tagging me.
Being positive.
Oh, this is just this has been it's been a whole expose.
I can still be positive sometimes.
Okay. So now you're just gonna
don't fucking you don't get to pigeonhole me.
He's pessimistic about always being pessimistic. Okay. Yeah. Like he doesn't think he can be pessimistic all the time. Like there's just no way he can do that.
Yeah.
Well, just fight your battles then. You're supposed to be on my side. This is gotcha journalism.
Gotcha. So yeah,
you guys did gotcha me. I got gotcha.
We're the gotcha media. You got gotcha'd.
Yeah. I got gotcha. Damn it.
Adam got.
So no, but like what I was going to say is like you, I think the first time I'd ever really seen you perform, cause I think you took a little bit of a break. And I only really saw you at LVT on occasion, maybe. The first
that's because I only go to LVT.
But I saw you at the Toast Prattles, and I was like, Jesus, fuck, this guy is really good. Because I think you got put up against maybe Daniel Brady. It was somebody who was brand new. And you just fucking took it and ran, and I was blown away.
Oh, yeah. I saved those jokes. Those were really funny.
Good. Yeah, you guys did a really great job. It made my heart so happy to kind of see, like, there were a lot of people who were just doing stand-up for literally the first time that night, like Daniel Brady.
Really?
Yeah, Daniel Brady, I think it was his first time. And
I don't think I went against him. I think I went against...
Ray Roberts?
Ray Roberts, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I think Brian Sternick
also. And
maybe
Brett Thomas. Somebody went against Brett Thomas.
No, I didn't go against Brett Thomas.
Probably
I lost my first one because mine wasn't one-liners.
Oh well, that's okay.
The other person had all one-liners, but I'm like, my flow doesn't match.
No, you're okay. It was the first one. We did like three, I think, before we had to quit.
Spider and I tried to do it the one time, and then we just ended up fighting.
You and Spider?
I like it.
Yes, Spider and I, we just ended up saying bad things about each other. No, fuck you. I'm trying to be nice. No, you were trying to be nice.
No, Liz, I remember yours. It was fucking, it was pretty good. Yours was funny. That was a funny show. I think it's more fun to write, like funny compliments. Okay,
it's harder.
I got it. Fuck you guys. But like, I think it's easier. I think it's easier to write funny compliments than it is to like, to say something mean about somebody. Cause like you can say something nice about somebody and like completely like you're just all you have to do is hyperbolize like how great they are at fucking literally anything.
Yep. And that's like, what I was...
Oh, you're so good at breathing that it makes scuba divers jealous.
Yeah. And that's it. It can be so stupid and that's what makes it funny. Like Logan Rashaw, like I did one for him. We did four, now that I think of it. We did three in that basement, we did one on my roof. And that one was just
that's the one Spider and I started.
Yeah, that's right. I have photos of you two just yelling at each other. But like I did one for Logan Rashaw and he had just come back from Peru and I was like, Logan Rashaw, like, he just came back from Machu Picchu, so they had to change the name to Macho Picchu. Like, it's just so fucking dumb. And, like, but that's the thing. That's what's so funny is you can just be really cheesy with it, and it's hilarious. And you don't have to know anything. That's the thing. But I think you were at the first two we ever did, and I don't even think you knew one of the people you were toasting. And you don't even have to, because you can just say really nice shit about the person.
I know. Yeah. And it's those are fun to write.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the reason we had to cancel them, ironically, is because people didn't know, like, people felt really weird about writing compliments or that they felt like it was too hard. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, so do you not want to be challenged? Like, I feel like that's like the big part of it. Cause everyone would always be like, can we do the opening stand-up spots? And I'm like, no, like, this is not the point. Like, this is just
I think writing like regular jokes when there's not like a set topic, like as a person, like a person or like, you know what I mean? Like because you're either complimenting a person or dissing a person, and like it in like, and also making fun of people is like, is it's an art for sure. Oh, yeah. Cause like, but like I can make up a bunch of petty bullshit. You know what I mean? I like, what I like to do, and I'm not doing it tonight because I was talked out of it. I like to just accuse people. I like to just accuse my opponent of like various crimes.
That's funny. I love it when everyone did the Ted Cruz the Zodiac Killer. Like, that made me fucking wet myself all the time. He's like, oh, and they're like, and there's the bumper sticker that says like, this man ate my son. And it's my favorite bumper sticker I think I've ever seen in my whole life. Every single time I see the meme, like, this man ate my son. Like, it's just the best.
I've never seen that, but that sounds amazing. God. Holy shit.
This man ate my son.
Oh, I saw somebody got a t-shirt of it, and I'm like, I'm going to wet myself.
The only proper meme I ever made was, like, I used it as a background image because I was bored at work one time. I use it as a banner. Maybe I'll put it up again. But it's like a picture of Emilio Estevez on like a background, and like, and the quote says, "One time I ate an albino's entire foot." Emilio Estevez, like, he actually said that. Just like, for sure, Alame. That's why I don't think I'm gonna get sued, because like, it's very specific.
And no one would believe it. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I should have made it like while I was studying for the role of coach in the Mighty Ducks. I ate Bynum's entire foot. Maybe then I would get sued, but like it's very vague otherwise.
Oh my God, that's great.
No, I love those like ridiculous accusations. I think they're hilarious.
I feel like that's like writing roast jokes. I feel like if it's a roast, right, it should be like devastating where I accuse someone of a crime publicly.
To me, like, there's just fewer hurt feelings too, because it's so ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like,
it is also,
right?
Because that's
that way you don't have to get too personal either.
That's the thing. Like,
you have certain expectations, and like, and like, oh shit, I didn't think I'd be accused of murder.
Tonight. I know, exactly. Like, no one sees that coming, right? Because that's it. I mean, you are lying if you've said you've gone into a roast battle and not thought ahead of time about what they're going to say about you, like what they're going to make fun of about you. Like, you haven't at least thought about it. And like, no one's going to go in thinking like, yeah, he's going to talk about that time I murdered a guy. Like, no one's going to think about that. They're all just going to be like, oh, he's going to make fun of my hair. You know, just that kind of shit. And it's going to throw them.
You guys are making me rethink my entire set, and I have to do it in like 7 hours or something. 4 hours.
Just throw one in there at the end. Like, if you're really flailing, just be like,
also,
that time that you kidnapped the president's daughter and you put her in a closet for 6 weeks.
No, I wrote one that was like, that I'm not using. It was Drew Mulkins is legitimately a murderer. I saw him kill a person in cold blood. It's like the whole, that's the joke.
Awesome.
But I say it into a microphone in front of a bunch of people.
Like, dead,
and I say
dead
it
injuries.
Like I mean it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Chaos. I say it like I mean it.
Seriously.
Like, guys, you know, why are you, stop laughing. He murdered someone, you guys.
I'm telling you.
Why isn't anyone calling the cops?
Look, I know we're having a lot of fun right now, but this guy killed a person. I saw it happen. He has faced no charges.
Check his trunk.
Oh my God.
I think I call him a pedophile once, and then like, but you know, basic things. I just think that's like the ultimate roast joke is accusing the other person of crimes.
I would totally do that, but like a famous old timey crime. So like, and I know for a fact this man kidnapped Lindbergh's
daughter. I was gonna say that.
That might actually be the workaround, and that might make those jokes. I might write that down if we get off this.
Use that as your parachute. Like, if it's going really bad, just like pull the cord and just be like, hey! Yeah.
You know what, Lindbergh's baby?
He,
fuck it.
He knows where Al Capone's vault is. He knows what's in there. He knows that's what's going on.
Yeah, that'll be the tiebreaker tonight. It'll be like, if there's a tiebreaker, I'll be like, this motherfucker kidnapped Lindbergh's baby.
Just look at
him. The mic.
Look, he looks like the kind of guy. Just look at his face.
He looked like he'd make a makeshift ladder, climb up the side of the house, crawl into that room, get that baby, and leave it in the woods.
He knows where Amelia Earhart's buried. He knows. It wasn't those crabs.
You know the fucking GPS. He did it.
Do you have anything coming up after Thursday you want people to know about?
Taco Tano's in Lakewood every Monday.
Okay.
That's it.
It's super fun.
If you wanna see me and what a mess I am.
In person.
Live and in person. See what a fucking mess I am.
I'm going to the Taco Tano show.
I love Taco Tano's because it's delicious as fuck and they got burritos the size of your goddamn head. So it's definitely worth the food. And
their tacos are huge.
Yes, that's true. Is it an open mic or a book show?
It's open mic.
Okay, cool. So show up, go up at Adam's. Yeah. Taco
it was
Thomas.
So fun. The last time that I went was like a couple of weeks ago, and like it was the nicest fucking crowd ever.
Like,
everybody.
Because it's all comics. It's all comics.
Yeah, but it's all comics. Okay, how often do you have a crowd of all comics when everyone's really nice and it's just like having a really good time?
All right. Well, I guess you got a point.
That's because there's
opposite.
There's tacos the size of your head and margaritas. I'm going to be happy no matter what the fuck's going on, to be quite honest with you.
I was a little tipsy. I was there with my best friend.
Their margaritas are killer, too. Their margaritas.
Yeah, their margaritas are real fucking good.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a margarita snob.
Yeah, she lives right next to Barrio, so she has.
They don't even make. They put sour mix. Like, I'm sorry, but like you sour mix.
Fresh squeeze your limes.
Fuck right off.
No, put them on blast. Put them on blast. Fuck Barrio.
Sour mix can suck a mean dick because it doesn't belong in there. To quote Archer, sour mix. What is this, Auschwitz?
Yeah,
that's a quote. You got
your five ingredients: tequila, lime, salt, a little bit of what else did he say?
Cointreau. Ice, the end.
Exactly.
It's an orange liqueur. Tequila.
Triple sec.
You don't need. Well,
I feel like triple sec in a good margarita.
The triple sec is like the Cointreau-y stuff, so it depends on.
Yeah.
It's like the Cointreau is like the brand. That's the one that I like to use.
This episode was brought to you by our sponsor, Barrio. We're very sorry.
Make better margaritas. So usually when I go there, I'll get the skinny skeleton.
Yes! I love the skeleton. Like oh, my God.
That one tastes more like a... Depending on who's bartending, that one tastes more like a legit margarita.
I have gotten so hammered on skinny skeletons. Like, so hammered. One time I got so hammered after it was the Monday nights they used to do at Barrio. Ryan bought me Ryan came up and kept buying everyone shots of tequila after the show.
Oh my God.
And the next day I was working out and I changed out of my gym clothes and I swear to God they reeked of tequila. And I was like, this is not good. Like, this is very bad.
That is good. That is good. It means you got all the tequila in your body. That's
the toxins, right? Whatever a toxin is.
Went out all the toxins.
The toxins. So you have your Monday night open mic. Anything else you got coming up?
No.
You got a social.
That's all I do. I'm not a real comic, you guys.
You have an open mic. You are absolutely a real comic. You have a weekly open mic. You are absolutely
ad hominem attack show.
Oh yeah, tonight. But that's tonight.
That's no. But if you make it to the next round, right?
Oh,
I was on a couple episodes of Teach These Devils.
Okay.
Is that a credit?
Yeah.
If you like hearing me talk, you can hear me talk more on that.
Now I wonder who's going to win the podcast award for next year.
Probably
won the first year.
Probably Drinks with Larry because they need it and they want it and they're so like I love them and they're amazing and they need to win.
Look, guys, you're being incredibly pessimistic right now. It's gonna be the default setting.
That's right.
Two Pete. Two Pete.
Lie to us right now and tell us to vote.
Two Pete. Hell yeah. Do you have a social media you want anybody to follow you on?
I have my Facebook. You can add me on a Facebook.
Do
I don't care.
Do you want?
Well, you have to send me like if you want to add me on Facebook, you have to like put a little note on it that says like, hey, I heard you on a podcast, and I think you're cool. And then I'll be like, cool. I hope you like hope you like web comics and self-promotion.
Hell yeah.
I mean, isn't that the only purpose? Yeah, I was gonna say, is that the only purpose of social media? Yeah.
That's what everyone in our lives just has to deal with.
Liz, do you have anything you want to promote? Social media? Anything you got going on?
Nah, I have an Instagram, maybe.
It's called Elizabeth Seaman. You can check out occasional photos of 12-sided dye and pants or carrots that look like pants.
Yeah, that happened.
And...
it's a German welcome sign.
Oh, a German welcome sign.
I went to an Amish restaurant.
Did it say Willkommen? Is that German? Yeah, it said Willkommen. I know German, everybody. yeah, and you can also check us out on Facebook at The Default Setting Pod. You can check me out at Epic Fall on Instagram and Twitter. I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network and OK Pants for being our logo designer. And I want to thank Adam Janovec for being the coolest fucking guest and so much fun.
Thank you, guys. I like doing podcasts, especially when I can get increasingly drunk throughout the podcast.
What's the point? I'm sorry. A sober podcast?
Yeah,
sounds real.
Who wants to listen to that shit? You know.
I'm going to go to a comedy show in a coffee shop, okay?
You know they're doing rails before they record This American Life this week. You know.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's so streamlined.
You know it. All right. K, love you. Bye.
Bye.